your presence. We ask you that you will reveal the word of God to us and help us abide in your word. Let the word cleanse and deliver us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the study that we are having, the true and the false church, we are going to see the origin of the false religion and the origin of the true religion. How the false religion came about. We know that Adam and Eve rebelled against God. Eve was deceived, but Adam rebelled. And when they rebelled against God, Adam, immediately they knew that they were naked. And that's a sign that they were actually earlier, they were covered by the glory of God, and the glory of God lifted. And the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and then fallen short of the glory of God. Now, we read from the scriptures in Genesis chapter 3 that after the sinning of the Adam and Eve, that the way back to the tree of life was blocked. God blocked it. Because in that fallen condition, God said, why should they go back and they eat that fruit and live forever? They will not die. So that was blocked. And so Jesus had to come and shed blood, the innocent blood, to redeem the fallen man. That's the story of redemption. And before that, in that fallen condition, Adam and Eve, they invented their own ideas from the corruptive mind, the mind which has received darkness, death, and the nature of the devil because of rebellion. They invented the fig leaves to cover themselves, their nakedness, that is to cover sin. The covering that they devised is the start of religion. Now, every religion has got something to cover the sin. You know, they say that, do that, do this, blah, 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 blah. Everything. And God had to come and remove that covering and give them a coat of skin, which signifies that, you know, we know by that that blood was shed and that covering was given. Skin of an animal. And from that time, because man devised his own method, there came all kinds of religions throughout the earth and still continues. That's why Isaiah cried out in 53:5 that all have gone astray like sheep, every man in his own way. Now, Adam learned that God required blood covering. Now, the two sons of Adam, Cain and Abel, they were both born after the rebellion of Adam. That means they came with the nature of Adam. Inside. Adam produced just like him. And every person born after Adam has the nature of rebel in him. Rebellion. That's why even kids, they rebel when they are 2 and 3. And you see them rebelling. Some kids, they just fall down, they pull their hairs and, you know, take something and throw at the mother or father. There's a rebellion inside, and you don't have to teach them to tell lies. Did you know that? Yeah, they will just stay. The rebel in human beings is the old man, the old self, or the old Adam. Now turn with me to Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 and 5. Here we see some way unknown to us about how God, you know, made known to Cain that his sacrifice was not accepted. Now, go with me, Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel, unto his offering. Some revelation was given, some attestation was given, we do not know how, that Abel knew that his offering was accepted and Cain knew that his offering was rejected. Please listen. Maybe a fire came from heaven, we do not know, and fell on Abel's sacrifice. When Cain knew that God had no respect for his sacrifice, he became very angry. Verse 5, but unto Cain and his offering he had no respect, and Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. He was not only angry with God, he was angry with his brother Abel also. Right? If you listen prayerfully, you will get a revelation that will give you joy in your heart and strengthen your spirit. Now, verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou angry, and why is the countenance falling? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. So sin caught up with, it doesn't take long, you know, Cain, and Cain murdered his brother. The first sin that was in action is murder. Can you see the depth of sin? Now let us consider both their religions. Abel's religion and Cain's religion. Every religion in this world has to come into one of these two. People in the world may not realize that either they are a follower of Abel or they are a follower of Cain. Christians in churches, Pentecostal churches, they had to either follow Abel or they have to follow Cain, even though they do not know one or the other. So as we study, please check up, and I need to check up. All right. Now Abel and Cain. Number one, Abel received divine revelation that God required a living sacrifice which had been killed, which should be killed and placed on the altar. How did he receive the divine revelation from God? We do not know. Maybe his father Adam also told him, both the sons, or maybe he received a revelation from God, which I believe should be the truth. Hebrews 11:4. The book of Hebrews 11:4. Here we see the Holy Spirit talking about the offering of Abel. 11th chapter 4th verse. By faith Abel offered unto God more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith he offered sacrifice. Now, we know faith comes by hearing the word of God, hearing the voice of God, his words. Faith comes. Revelation knowledge brings faith. Romans 10:17. The word there is rhema word. So he received the revelation and acted upon it, and by faith he offered the animal, right? And we know Matthew 16:17-18 says, chapter 16, and the Lord speaking to Peter and says that this revelation about me that has come to you is not from man, it has come from the Father to you. Are you there? Right. Now Cain rejected the revelation of the kind of sacrifice that God required. He said, brought those fruits of the ground and said, this is the best that I have. See, Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. But God rejected it. Cain rejected God's revelation knowledge. Number two, by Abel sacrifice, Abel acknowledged the need for a substitutionary sacrifice for his sin and the sin of his race. By his offering, Cain denied the need for a substitutionary sacrifice, and no blood was shed. Cain accepted that something, some lively thing has to die in his place. Substitutionary sacrifice. And you know, after many thousand years from that time, Jesus came as a substitute for us to die on the cross. Amen? But Cain refused and rejected the substitutionary sacrifice, and no blood
was shed. Number three, Abel's offering indicated a life that is laid down. John 12:25, Jesus said, he who loves his life shall lose it, but he who hates his life shall keep it for eternal life. He who loves his life shall lose it. The grain of wheat, unless it falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But when it dies, it brings forth much fruit. So Abel's offering tells us that a life had to be laid down. Is that the lifestyle we are living? Most of the time you can see self-centeredness in churches, isn't it? Paul said to the Philippians, all are minding about themselves, not about the things of Christ. Cain's offering rejected a lifestyle that is laid down, a life that is given as a sacrifice. Cain was self-willed. Number four, God pronounced a curse on the earth, Genesis 3:17, after the sin. God said to Adam, because of you, the earth is cursed. Abel, by his offering, brought a solution for the curse by shedding the blood of the animal. But Cain brought some produce of the earth, which was already under the curse of God. Nothing was done to revoke the curse. He brought the produce from the cursed ground. Number five, God bore supernatural attestation for Abel's offering. How the supernatural attestation came, we do not know. God accepted his offering. Cain did not receive the supernatural attestation. He just went through a religious performance. How many churchgoers are like that today? A religious life, a religious performance, Sunday after Sunday. No power. Remember Jesus said, Acts 1:8, he said, you shall receive what? Power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Have you tested your Christian life that you're walking in power? Cain was living a life, he was going near God according to his way, self-willed, not according to the plan of God. There was no power, there was no attestation. Many Christians today, they live in this way. There is no power in their Christian life. It is a form of godliness, a religious performance. What power do you have? Paul once said to the Corinthians, some people are talking much over there, but if I come there, I would like to know not their words, but their power. Are you there? Number six, Abel's religion produced a martyr. Cain's religion produced a murderer. In each case, that was the result of their religion. Cain's way, religion produced a martyr. He died. But Cain's religion made him a murderer. Number seven, Abel's religion will bring forth a bride for Christ. Cain's religion will bring forth a harlot, the false church. Remember, pastors and Christians who are self-willed and following Cain will always be angry and jealous about other pastors and other Christians who has power in their lives, the anointing in their lives, because they are living the lifestyle of Abel. They are going through the blood sacrifice. Ishmael persecuted Isaac. King Saul persecuted David. Today, many churches are jealous with one another. Even within Pentecostal churches, one group is jealous with the other. They persecute. Why? Because some are following Abel, the others are following Cain. Human nature has never changed, you know. It was there in Garden of Eden, it is here today. If you live under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, there is another Christian in the same church, he is not living under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that person is going to be jealous of you. Because you receive the attestation of God when they don't. Every religion that is practiced should fall into one of these two. When we observe the servants of God in the Bible and in the history, who tell me, who gave them the most trouble for the servants of God? The heathen people or the religious people? The religious people. What religion did they have? The religion of Cain or the religion of Abel? The religion of Cain. Many churches today and many Christians, they follow Cain. Who put the prophets to death? Who persecuted them? The religious people, followers of Cain. Who was responsible for putting Jesus to death? Religious people. When you do evangelism, you'll be all right to a normal person if you tell about Jesus. But when you come in confrontation with religious people, you're going to have a real fight. The religious give more problem. They are the followers of Cain. Now, picture of the false church, the harlot, the product of Cain's religion. The false church is the harlot. Now, the false church exploits the political power. False church uses the political power to reach her goals. We should be careful when we hear some Christians talking about taking over the government. Watch what I say. Taking over politics. Every time it happened in the past history, it has been a disaster for the church. It happened in the 4th century when Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire under the Emperor Constantine. From that time, Christianity went into decline, went down and down and down. They made Christianity the government religion. During the Middle Ages, when the popes wielded the two swords, the sword of the spiritual government and the sword of the political government, and the state and the church was in a state of total darkness. God has not called us to run the political system. We are called to pray for the leaders in the government. And from time to time, God raised up men like Joseph, Daniel, to play a vital role in the governments. God never ordained the church to take over the political system. Are you listening? All right. Now, Revelations 13:1. Now we're going to directly go into the false church and what is the actually her dilemma, her end is going to be, and God is going to really put us in a place at the end of the study where we are. 13:1. And I stood up on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now here in this scripture verse, the political system is described as a beast. In fact, it is the end time political government. It is the end time one. All right? Now, Revelation 17:3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman. If you want to underline that word woman. I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast. Here comes the beast again. Full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now this woman is the harlot. It is a picture of the false church. Now, having these two foundations, the end time political government and the false church, how it is riding on the political government, the beast. Now, this goes back to in the Old Testament times, a type that we can observe when we compare King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. Watch this. Now we know that under the rule of Jeroboam, they have already started worshipping golden calves. You know that. I don't have to go to that scripture. He made two golden calves and then made all Israel to worship. And they were worshipping. Most of them, they were worshipping that. And afterwards came Omri, the father of Ahab. And then came Ahab. Ahab, he sinned more than all the others put together. And he went and got married to a heathen woman, king, the daughter of a king, Ethbaal. Ethbaal means like unto Baal. They were up to all kinds of demonic worship, all kinds of prostitution, adultery, witchcraft, you name it. They were burning children and so on and so forth. And in fact, Ahab made a grove, means an image which resembles a female sexual organ. Asherah in Hebrew is a Phoenician goddess, sexual symbol that wooden idol is called Asherah. You can read that in First Kings 16 from 30 to 33. Now Jezebel was the daughter of the pagan king Ethbaal. She was a follower and promoter of Baal. She promoted Baal worship. She incited her husband Ahab and made up mostly all Israel to worship Baal. Now, Ahab, caught by the demonic deception of his wife, he brought forth this idol of Asherah by himself and made Israel to sin more. You know, when the husband and wife, when this woman has so much of demonic spirits, of witchcraft and prostitution, adultery, fornication, when they get together in sex, sexual intercourse, transference of spirits takes place from one person to the other, and they're from this person to the other. And he sinned more and more, not knowing what he was doing. The root cause was his wife Jezebel. 1 Kings 21:8. Take 1 Kings 21:8. services have you been following? Right. Now look what she does. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto elders to the nobles that were in the city dwelling with Naboth. You know the story. He was greedy for Naboth's vineyard, and then, you know, he was weeping. And then Jezebel came and said, well, why do you weep? I mean, you're a king. And she said, no, let me do it and I will do it. And then, you know, she so much manipulated, took his letterhead probably and wrote letters. And then, you know, she finished off Naboth just like that. What is that? Manipulation comes under witchcraft. The spirit of witchcraft uses manipulation. And final motive is what? Control. What is the final goal? Control. Now, so she opposed and usurped Ahab's authority to have Naboth killed. As I said before, God never manipulates. Never. The Holy Spirit never manipulates. Whenever you can find manipulation, you should know the spirit of witchcraft is in action. Can I have a good amen? God will never manipulate anybody. Manipulation is of witchcraft. Now, Jezebel killed the true prophets. Watch these things. Now we are comparing the king to the political government and Jezebel as the false church compared to the woman that was on the beast. Jezebel killed the true prophets and supported the false prophets. This so happens in churches. People, you know, who are under the victim of this Jezebelic spirit, witchcraft, they will not like the anointed preachers. They will not like people who warn, and they will not like people who come with a very strong message of repentance. But they will just love preachers with the head knowledge, without the anointing. Dead. They love that. She will promote. Jezebel will promote. If you are not careful, you will not discern the spirit in the church. You got to be open in prayer and full of the word, humble, asking the Lord, what is happening? So she promotes the false prophets. It was so in the early times, isn't it? Jesus said, the false prophets were exalted and the true prophets were persecuted. And Jesus said, if you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, don't worry. They did so to the true prophets. Okay. People who are under the spirit of Jezebel will attack those who preach and teach uncompromising word of God and support the false ones. Jezebel supported, practiced prostitution, immorality, and witchcraft. 2 Kings 9:22. And so false churches will promote that. People will go scot-free when they have fornication, adultery, and they will even be found in worship group or musical group, musicians, or in any prayer group, they will go scot-free. In many churches happening like that. 2 Kings 9:22. Now here we see Jehu coming, and Jezebel knew that her life is now in danger. And it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu that he said, is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace? So long as the whoredoms, harlotry of thy mother Jezebel and witchcrafts are so many. Look at me. Witchcraft is always coupled with fornication and adultery. The root of physical adultery almost all the time is spiritual adultery. That is the root. You go into spiritual adultery, being unfaithful to God Almighty, and then you end up with physical adultery. Always the case. So in this scripture we see she practiced prostitution, fornication, adultery, the whoredoms, and witchcrafts. Wherever witchcraft is present, is in action, If it's in a family, that family is going to be in trouble. That family is going to be in confusion. There's going to be division finally. If it's in a church, there will be complete confusion. If witchcraft is present, Jezebel spirit, there will be confusion, depression, slumberness. Everything will be dying. The presence of God will be lifted up. And they will not know it. Those people who are under the victims of Jezebel. Now, in a time like this, now we're comparing Jezebel and the false church, right? Remember there? The beast, the political federation, and the woman who's riding on the beast is a false church. Now, we are comparing here, thousands of years ago, how she made all Israel, almost everybody, or God reserved 7,000 for him. And all of this, nearly 10 million Jews worshipped Baal. 10 million. All because of one woman. Baal. Abomination in the sight of God. Total abomination. So it was a time, moral declination, spiritual corruption, adultery, and they were provoking God to anger. And guess what? God sends a man, and his name was Elijah. God sent and raised up Elijah into a situation when God's people have now adulterated with all kinds of demonic spirits, gone away from him, unfaithful. See? Going away from him. And Elijah comes into the scene. Elijah is God's answer to Jezebel. He came into the scene with the anointing. And he says, comes and meets the king. What an anointing he must have had. I'm the one who stands in the presence of the Lord. And as I say, according to my word, there's not going to be rain this coming year. My goodness. No rain. What does it mean? When Jezebel rules, the word of God, which is type of rain, is taken away. People will not hear anything. People will not endure anything. They would not desire the word of God. Nothing. No blessing. 1 Kings 17:1 that you all know. I think you better read that. 1 Kings 17:1. And then we quickly go over there. And Elijah the Tishbite, and who was the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be a dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. 18:1. And it came to pass after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the 3rd year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So God raised up a man of God called Elijah for the situation to attack this witchcraft that has come and destroyed God's people and took them away from God, the one and only living God. Brothers and sisters, we know how Jezebel died, how she was killed. The Enochs who were living with her, fruitless lives, hearing the voice of the anointed man, Jehu, from downstairs. And he said, who is on my side? And the Enochs looked down and he said, throw her down. Those people who were caught by Jezebel will have to come direct in confrontation with the word of the Lord spoken by the man of God. For that time, the anointed man of God was Jehu. And he said, throw her down. And they threw her down. And her blood was spilled. And he stepped on her with a horse. In fact,
You will read there, Jezebel wanted to seduce Jehu, you know. She painted her eyes and probably she wore some see-through or whatever, something that will attract him. And Jehu was not willing of those things because the anointing was mighty upon him. The anointing is that which matters. The anointing, why people are flocking behind Benihin is because of him. Nice man. He's just a man like you and me. It is because of the anointing. It's because of the anointing, I said. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke and removes burdens. What you respect, you will attract. And some of you, I don't know, you missed the other day when the church was there. You really missed. All right. Now, Jezebel is rising again to power at the close of the age. I'm talking of the spirit of witchcraft, this evil, satanic principality or whatever you call it. And God says, I will send Elijah. It's going to, you know, the history repeats, it's going to end like that. The churches should be ready to attack Jezebel and they should know how to tackle her. And those churches, only those churches we are given the morning star. Authority to rule over the nations, not others. Now, when Elijah comes on the scene, you should know Jezebel is already there. When people come with the anointing of Elijah, Jezebel is already there. John the Baptist came in the power and spirit of Elijah, the Bible says. Why? Because the spirit of witchcraft was already there. Fornication, adultery, and all kinds of things. And John the Baptist had to come and then point the finger at Herod. You can live with so-and-so wife when he's dead, not when he's alive. And of course, he paid the price. Jezebel cut his head off. But truth prevailed. Amen. God is raising people with the anointing of Elijah these days. And you can be that one, sister. And brother, you can be that man. This is end time. This is no playing here. This is not just taking downwards. Oh, well, oh, you just learned a very good thing today. No, no, no. This is life and death. As I said, persecution has already started. It is going to come within a second inside churches. And pastors are going to have a real tough time. Laws are being passed by government. Wake up. Wake up. And this spirit of Jezebel, which is very subtle, sleeping like viper within churches, causing real damage to the presence of God Almighty. Malachi chapter 4 verse 5. You know, the Old Testament book ends up like that. Thank you, Jesus. Remember ye the law of Moses and my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgment. God says, remember my word, the word which I have given you. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. God knows that in the end times, Jezebel will rise to power, this principality, and attack God's people, the churches. And God knew all this. And God cannot be mocked or fooled. You're going to find out in a minute. He knows everything, so he plans everything. And verse 6, and he, who's that? Elijah, shall return the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Brothers and sisters, the threat to the end time society and the church of God, God's people, is the false church with full of witchcraft. Here we see in the book of Malachi that God sending Elijah. The result of witchcraft is the breakage of relationships within the family. Can you see that? Division between the fathers and the children and the parents, the result of the working of Jezebel. So God says, I will send Elijah, the spirit of Elijah upon people. They will come and destroy this power. If this power, if this is not restored, the condition that is prevailing now, you can see in almost all the earth, and especially in the Western countries, let's say Canada, United States, the division in the family, husband and wife, the children and the parents, how much it's prevalent, isn't it? It's so dominant. And God says, if the spirit of Elijah, people with this anointing, if they don't rise up and then destroy this Jezebel, put her under and trample her, he says, I will smite the earth with a curse. That's what he says. Lest I should come and smite the earth with a curse. What are we going to do? See, the basic primary result of witchcraft is break up of family life. Break up a family. God says, if this is not changed, you will bring a curse. The source of the breakup of family life is witchcraft. Wherever witchcraft prevails, there cannot be peace. There cannot be peace. If it is a family, the male authority will be challenged and opposed by the female. If it is a church, the pastor's authority will be superseded, manipulated, intimidated, attacked by the female authority or some females. It is the activity of the false church which is the activity of Jezebel. Now, Revelation chapter 17, let's go back there, verses 12 and 13. Revelation 17 verses 12 and 13. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now, the 10 horns are 10 kings, 10 kings of 10 nations. This is the entire political federation government. Now they are submitting the political power to the beast. So here we see the Antichrist also used political federation. Earlier we saw in 17:3, the woman was sitting upon a beast. And that beast had 10 horns. The 10 horns are 10 kings. They have not received their government yet. And they give their power and authority to the beast. The scarlet woman in 17:3 is the false church. She rides on the beast. Finally, the beast controls and manipulates the 10 kings. Are you following me? The beast is the Antichrist. And the Antichrist manipulates and controls the 10 kings. In a certain sense, just as the true church is the bride of Jesus, the false church is the bride of Antichrist. But Jesus treats his bride very differently from the way the Antichrist treats his bride. Brothers and sisters, don't play with the devil. Don't play in the church. It's going to cost you one of these days. It will. I don't know who is listening to this message and who will listen. And who is willing to listen. But it's going to happen. And they will find out whom they are serving. Remember Judas. You know, you play with the devil may bless you for some time and then keep you happy and all that. But after using you, he will throw, just like we throw away the squeezed lemon. You know what happened to Judas? Yes. He was used of the devil. And then finally he found out that Jesus gave himself to death. He did not reject. He went to the priest, high priest and all that. And he said, I have just committed this great sin against an innocent blood. You know what they said? It is up to you. You go and do about it. But we don't care about that. That is the way of the devil. He will use you and just throw you away like a piece of dirt. Never play with the devil. Never. There is a real devil. There is a real God. And the end time is this. And there is no room for playing you in one day. No room for toleration of Jezebel. No. No. It's time to stand for the word of God. It's time to stand for the word of God. I said it's time to stand for the word of God. Never put relationships above the word of God. No. Sad to say, some pastors, they do that. They put relationship above the integrity of God's calling. And it's the truth of God's word. Okay. Now, Revelation 17, 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, they shall hate the war. That means the false church, the woman. It says war, that means the harlot. The 10 horns, that means those 10 governments, those 10 kings, they will hate this false church. Right? And shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Now watch this. The false church we see in chapter 17, she uses the political federation to gain, come into power. She uses the governmental power to become famous. And guess what? God permits her to be destroyed by the same political power. She gets torn into pieces. That is the ultimate end of the false church. Destroyed by 10 kings. The false church will be destroyed by the very political power which she manipulated to gain a place for her on the earth. God cannot be mocked. No one fools God. Look at that. Verse 17, chapter 17, Revelation. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. This is the false church. And the end is terrible. Brothers and sisters, we see the false church using the political government. And then the Antichrist comes. And we see her riding on the Antichrist, on the beast. And later on, the beast, the Antichrist, manipulates the government. And then the government, those 10 kings, turning around and killing all those so-called Christians, the false church. Are you there? And her flesh was eaten. Now, I want to just point over there to verse 16. And the 10 horns with our swords upon the beast, these shall hate the woman, the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. They shall eat her flesh. The heathen people, the governmental people, those people in authority at that time, they will kill all these so-called Christians, and their flesh shall be eaten, that means destroyed. Now, many of you know, when Jezebel was thrown down from the stairs, right? Turn with me. I want to show you 2 Kings 9. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Kings 9, verse 35. And they went to bury her, who? Jezebel. But they found no more of her than the skull, and the feet and the palms of her hands. Why? The dogs have finished her flesh. The same way the false church is compared, just now I read 16th verse. The heathen, those kings, shall eat her flesh, the false church. Can you see that? And you know the heathen are compared to dogs. Well, remember that lady who came and begged and said, please, please, my daughter is vexed with the spirit, an evil spirit, please, Lord, please. And he said, it's not good for the bread of the children to be given to dogs. You see,
the Jews considered the heathen as dogs. So you can see the dogs, the heathen people eating the false church. Torn apart, destroyed. Now, the true church will reign with Christ throughout eternity. The false church will be torn into pieces, cast aside, left as a sign of history. That's what we saw just now. The end of Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, who made all Israel to worship Baal and Asherah through Ahab. Why Ahab did that? His wife incited, triggered him off. Witchcraft. It takes an Ahab to tolerate a Jezebel. See, saints of God, we should have been gone deep into these things and waging war against by now. But we are still ABC. God is good. Oh, he's a protector, you know. When the battle is on, do you know about the whole armor of God? Do you know that you cannot escape the evil day? Do you know that you can only defeat the devil by the word of the Lord? Jesus never used anything else. But the saints, the so-called, they just sit and starve and yawn. I feel sleepy. The word of the Lord has been sucked out of many churches. By whom? Jezebel. Preachers are never given time. The time is sucked out. They are distracted over many things. Family, building project, meeting after meeting. Oh, there is no end for meetings. Are you all there? Why are you quiet? No end for meetings. Meeting, 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 meeting. Prayer meeting, bah. Bah in Sri Lankan means nothing. No. Banquets, all people will gather. Why? Jezebel spirit. Vashti spirit. We'll study about the two banquets. This is the condition. Wake up. You need to wake up. The Lord has sent me here not to give you sugar-coated cashew nuts. Candy. No. Find somebody else. I will speak what the Lord tells me to speak. If you know better than me, you speak. Take the gospel. Attack the devil. Raise up the army. Let Jesus come back quickly. Can I have a good amen? Amen. Oh my Lord. What has happened to your voice? Now, what God says to those who are with her in this false church, chapter 18, verse 4. Is it God is so wonderful, he's loving and kind, he's good. Yes, everything is true, but at the same time, he warns people. He warns people of God, be warned. 18:4 of Revelation. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Out of whom? The false church. That you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not her plagues. Can you see that? Many are going to be deceived by the false church. And I totally agree with Brother Derek Prince, the doctor of, you know, he's a versatile, the Bible scholar, that mostly everybody is going to speak in tongues in the end times. You better be careful. Yes. Now the question is, brothers and sisters, saints of God, where do you want to be? Thank you, Brother Tony. One person, where do you want to be?
You better be, and I better be. True church. What is the decisive line between the two? The true church has remained loyal and faithful to Jesus Christ. The marriage vow. And this church has remained faithful. It has not gone on spiritual adultery or anything, going away from her commission of winning souls all over the nations, attacking the enemy. For he said, no, the gates of hell shall not prevail. So the true church has remained loyal and faithful to Jesus Christ. The false church has been disloyal, unfaithful wife. It is not a matter of speaking in tongues. In fact, as I said just now, many, almost everyone, are they going to speak in tongues? So how are you going to differentiate? It is not a matter of church membership. Or you tell someone, I belong to this church. It is not denominational label, whether Assemblies of God or Presbyterian Church or the Church of God or whatever church. There's no problem there in the label. Do we love and honor and serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we love him? Do we honor him? Do we serve him? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. We say we love Lord Jesus Christ, we should love the Word of God. If we say we honor the Lord Jesus Christ, we should honor the Word of the Lord. If we are faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ, we should be faithful to the Word of God. Amen? Yeah. We cannot love the Lord Jesus Christ more than we love God's Word. No. It makes no sense. Because in the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was. And the Word is God. His name is called the Word of God. Revelations 19:30. So are we loyal to the Word of God, to our Lord Jesus Christ? Are we totally committed to Him and His Lordship? These are the questions. Are we committed to the Lordship of Jesus? Now Jesus is back in heaven. He has sent the Holy Spirit down here. The Holy Spirit is Lord within the church. Now who is the Lord? Tell me. The Holy Spirit is Lord. Are we submitting to the Lordship of the Holy Spirit, who was sent by Jesus Christ in his name? He's the unseen person. Just like they rejected and ignored Jesus, many churches reject him and ignore him without knowing anything. At least some people agree. Are we faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ, faithful to him, even when others are unfaithful? Are we faithful? Do we take a stand for him even when there is opposition and persecution? Opposition and persecution is actually not evident in countries like here, Canada. Some of our children go through persecution over there in Sri Lanka. They are forced to sing Hindu songs and all that in schools. They are refused and they are punished. Oh yes. Sometimes they are asked to leave the schools. Then we have to take up the matter with the Ministry of Education. Yes. Many schools, listen to this, they have changed the names of the schools to Hindu gods' names. Many street names have been changed to the names of Hindu gods, so that we will pronounce and write those names in our letters. Can you believe this? You are forced to. Why evil has arisen like this these days? Shall I tell you one of the... Yes, it's end time, but the church has been sleeping. Church has not been opposing. When they said, whoa,
Homosexuality is fine. And the church, except one or two preachers. Well, we have to live with it. Now they even take off that name homosexuality. They say, gay. Come on, man. Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's the way of life. This is 21st century. Where are you living? Where do you come from? So we put up with those things. 25 years ago, you go and talk about these things to anybody who is a spirit-filled Christian, you might get a knock on your face. What? Out. So now here comes persecution, opposition. Let's see what the church is going to do. Opposition and persecution is coming for pastors. Oh yeah, the devil is going to send his people over here. What are we going to do? Oh yes. Are we going to stand for the word? And bear the penalty? Bear the judgment? Bear the persecution? Or, we said, oh well, you know, brother, we've got to be careful, you know. Oh, we got to be careful. Those people thought that they had to be careful. I don't think we will have chapter 11 of Hebrews. Is it? Ah, why were they not careful? That's right. The spirit of compromise is a demon spirit. It's the time. But anyway, the power of God will rise up high. When evil rises up, the Lord will increase the voltage higher. That's why you and I, we have come in such a time as this to put Jezebel down and just paste her to the ground. No compromise. Do not come to the stage without committing your life. I heard one pastor say, don't come up next time. Commitment, faithfulness. There's no excitement about the kingdom of God. Everything else, they get excited. But there is no excitement for the word of God. It's very sad. This really hurts God. Are you going to be faithful?